teams, broadcasting from Echo Base 2A on the Ice World of Hoth. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. Like the soothing heat of a Tauntaun steaming innards, this warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees to keep a sin flood of Imperial probe droids out of your head. Can you feel it, Chandler? Can you feel it, Nick?
I can feel it.
Oh, I love them warm Tauntaun guts.
Love me some of that.
Oh, it looks like the ice planet of Hoth around here. So
it feels like it up here, man.
It's been 65 degrees out here.
Yeah. All right, just to clarify, we got Nick Hazelton in Oregon. We got Chandler St. Pierre in Maine and Jim Babb here in Pennsylvania. So looks like Nick wins for best February weather. Nice.
Yes.
As we communicate across the fiend waves with the fiend phone. So anyway. All right. Great to be with you guys.
Well, yes. So I heard there was some big football game or something this weekend. And people watched it, and they were all up in arms about the halftime show, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I guess, I don't know, was it another wardrobe malfunction? That was a big hit a couple years ago. Remember that one?
that one was pretty funny. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Nick, did your parents let you watch that, or is that a little...
I don't remember. I remember hearing.
You were probably
about
like 11 at the time.
Probably. I don't remember ever seeing it.
Just Google it. Yeah.
Don't bother. Really.
I don't know. So, are we even allowed to say Super Bowl on the air, or could that get somebody sued? I don't even know. Like,
well, it depends on what your version of Super Bowl is. I saw some pretty interesting ones on Facebook yesterday.
Were they super?
They were super, and they were bowls.
Bring it, NHL. What about you, Nick? Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's actually the only. I occasionally might catch a football game if I go to somebody's house, but I don't follow much of professional sports. So, but I do watch at least some of a Super Bowl every year, most of the time.
Isn't that cool. The game that everyone who doesn't watch football watches? Well, everyone except me.
Yeah, pretty much.
I tuned in for the halftime show. I like that. Sometimes the halftime shows are great. So, and there, it's always a spectacle of a production. So that in itself, you know, I think is pretty cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually skipped the halftime show this time. I do enjoy watching sports. I think it's just kind of fun. And it's nice to be around people, you know, during that time. I got to hang out with some people I enjoy being around. So that was the fun part of it. And, yeah, unfortunately, I stepped outside for most of the game because after about 1.5 quarters, I get pretty bored. I think football is pretty slow. You know, there seems to be a lot that happens. It's very much a collision sport, and it's fun to watch when the game's going. But it seems that like half or even like 75% of the game is not actually playing. You know, it's people, it's either the ads for the game, or it's the replays of the game, or the however many calls get called.
And don't forget the idiotic, brainless commentary. I find that's kind of the saddest component. It's like, yeah. I like the sports, but really the commentary is just, it just, people just talking. Like, it's almost like they want to be freedom fiends. They just like, we have this air to fill. We better keep talking. You know?
Have you guys ever seen the Simpsons episode where Homer gives up drinking and he goes to a sports game and he's listening to the commentator and he's like, I never realized how boring this game was. So, I just saw something on Facebook just now, and it said Beyonce should have honored America's Armed Forces, not the Black Panther Party. Now,
whoa,
okay, that's pretty stupid in and itself. But isn't, like, it's been my impression and granted, I don't have TV and I really don't like sports, but it's been my impression that that's what big sports games have become, is just like this parade for the military and the state. You see the ads and you always see the salutes to the soldiers and this and that.
Oh, and like the biggest flags that the world has ever seen. Like, it's like they've never seen the world. I mean, literally like 300-yard, or I guess 100-yard flags, 300-foot flags that they drag out. And I think they had a jet flyover this time. I think that's set standard. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. And like, you know, when I see that stuff, it just makes me want to, yeah, America. You know, I mean, America. it's so bad. And I guess people have gotten used to that, and when somebody does something contrary to that, then they lose their minds. Just kind of illustrates the sheep mentality. But that's just my two
cents. So who were the people that got mad at Beyonce? Wasn't it people like the Giulianis, the Rudolph Giulianis of the world, and all the police apologists?
I guess so. This meme is from Breitbart.
Conservative, of course. Well, right, the conservatives, right? Why didn't you participate in this, like, the spectacle of state worship, right? Instead, and it was, for anybody didn't see it, it was a I would call it a Black Panther themed dance show, and you know, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought the costumes were great. I thought it was a big spectacle. I didn't have any problem with it. And why not pay tribute to the Black Panthers? Well, I mean, you got to have some kind of theme.
Yeah. I don't know much about the Black Panthers in history, unfortunately. But one thing I do remember them getting some attention for was open carrying in some sort of government building, right? Didn't they go into like a Senate hearing or something, fully armed? I thought that was pretty cool, and it seems to fit with the conservatives' Second Amendment, right? I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, but not for Black people. Come on. Yeah. That's the way they think. You know, they're like, whoa. Yeah, we wanted these gun rights for us white folk, you know? But I think that was, I don't know, I think that was, you know, a very important part of the civil rights movement was that mentality of not this victim mentality, this we're going to protect ourselves mentality.
Well,
and, you know, portraying a strong image instead of, weak and begging image.
If you Google the Black Panther coloring book, you'll see these horrific images, and it was supposedly put out by the Black Panthers, which actually isn't true. It was actually put out by the FBI to discredit the Black Panthers. That's come out in more recent years. But a lot of people, when they think of the Black Panthers, you know, back in the 70s and stuff, they think of this militant group, you know, intimidating people. But the Black Panthers actually started out in response to the school busing problems in the Northeast and the school lunch problems. They started out as a group that was feeding poor, mainly Black kids. Like, I remember seeing this one picture of like one of their, I don't know, town halls, their meeting facilities or whatever, and they had hundreds and hundreds of bag lunches that they had raised through charity work and stuff to give to less fortunate kids. But nobody remembers that, because that's actually a positive image, and the media doesn't want to spin that type of image.
You know, I was just reading, remembering one thing about Beyonce. Okay, so Beyonce does this show, okay, where it's a tribute to the Black Panthers, okay, which is like an armed resistance to tyranny. And Beyonce has like bandoliers of bullets on as part of her costume. But she's getting some flack because she did like a gun control public service announcement like a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's should we give her the credit? Say, look, she's grown as a person since she did that gun control video, and now she supports the right of self defense and the Black Panthers and, you know, and armed resistance. Or do you think it was just like, well, what's the costume? Okay, great, you know.
Well, you know, if I wanted to get really conspiratorial. I'd say that this is just another divide and conquer thing. Because one of the memes that I've seen floating out there is people saying, well, you know, the Oscars get boycotted for being too white, but the Super Bowl halftime show is all about Black Panthers, and it's okay, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And okay, I get the sentiment, like, that political correctness is wrong, but again, this is turning into a race issue. It's more of that divide and conquer, like, hey, let's argue about race, you know, with each other, instead of turning our attention to the parasites that are really raping and pillaging our, you know, our individuality.
That's a fact. And it's a standard part of their playbook that seems to work every time, right?
I don't get it.
Pits, you know, make the slaves enforce each other's slavery, and your population is a lot easier to maintain. Like, Nick, like, what if you could, like, train your yaks to take care of the other yaks and keep them from escaping the pen? Would that be an advance in yak farming?
Absolutely. It certainly would, if I could set up some sort of hierarchy system to keep yaks in check. And actually, to a degree, not to the degree that the government has done with people, but you can get animals to put each other in their place.
And how does that work? You know, I guess I'm a city boy. Explain that to me, farm boy.
Maybe I can do this before we go to break, but basically all herd animals have a hierarchy, right? There's a top bull in every herd. And so they're going to pick on everybody else, you know, through the levels. And the people that they pick on, the animals they pick on, will pick on the next. So they have this hierarchy they set up. And if somebody's acting outside of that hierarchy, they're going to get punished.
It literally is a pecking order. Like, they actually, like, peck one another.
Right. That's exactly what chickens do. So that's basically how it works. And you can just watch them do stuff. And it's really fun.
Worms.
I want the robot chicken.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Some mysterious reason, and we're wondering what he can do to try to help them. So what are you going to try to do to help them, Nick?
Well, actually, I am working on a series for my own podcast, going over Bernie Sanders' platform. I haven't talked about that yet, but since we're on it. So basically what I'm going to try to do is I'm just going to go over his platform, ask some questions, try to keep it as objective as possible to see if I can get anybody who may not agree with me on the political.
Oh, so you're a big Trump supporter, they'll say. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where else is that going to go? They're like, oh, you're asking me some tough questions about Bernie Sanders. So you love Trump, do you? So, but good luck with that, you know?
No, it'll be fun. I enjoy trying to pick things apart, and I'm not going to like try to slander the guy or even ask questions that'll try to undermine. Well, I mean, I get the point in doing that, but I feel like there are enough people doing that. I want to just ask some questions.
Yeah, you want to take a logical look at it, which is what people aren't doing.
Right. Or think, like, what would have influenced me when I was at that sort of, like, proto-larval stage of philosophical development? Like, I'd never had anybody when I was, you know, in my teenage years. There were no libertarians in my world that I knew of.
It was Rush Limbaugh. Come on, he's great.
We didn't even have Rush Limbaugh. So, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm a little older than you, Chandler, but... So, you know, but now, like, really, it's a little harder to stay in the dark now, right? Like, every teenager has the sum of human knowledge accessible on their phone, you know, 24/7. So.
But you know what kills me, right? Because I posted this yesterday. Like, I don't put much time and effort into Trump because, honestly, Trump is a joke. He's there for amusement. He's horrible. And if you actually support this guy, I think you have serious anger issues. But Sanders, right? Sanders,
well, you could also just be a xenophobe.
That too. Yeah. Racist. Yeah. There's a lot of things that come to
mind. Sexist.
Sanders he's got this cult following, and he's going to save the world, much like we saw with Obama when Obama was running. Now,
or Ron Paul, to be fair. I mean, there is I saw that same sort of hero worship. You know, now, of course, Ron Paul had a lot more to legitimately earn the attention that he got.
His voting record actually backed up his campaign claims. Like, people think Bernie Sanders is, I mean, you put aside his economic illiteracy for a moment, which is very difficult for me, but let's put that aside. They think he's this wonderful, peaceful guy who's going to, end the police state and end the wars. And then
he's going to pull up in his Volkswagen microbus, you know, and he's going to kick a hacky sack around with them.
And break his hip. And yeah, it'll be great. But, you know, and then you're looking at his voting record, and he's always been for military spending. He's always been voted for, you know, wars, the Patriot Act.
They all are.
You know, but the thing is, there's such a disconnect that this younger generation, and I don't mean to sound like, you know, one of them old fogies, get off my lawn type, but it's true.
Today, you kids today.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at these younger kids that are believing all these, everything's going to be free.
Back in my day, we shot communists. Now they're now they've got Che on their t-shirt. What's going on?
Oh, it's horrible. But obviously, these kids don't. They believe the TV ads, and I guess the radio ads, and the internet stuff. They don't actually take the time to look into his history, you know. And it's just sad.
Remember, it's about the feels. It's feel the burn. Feel it doesn't say go do your independent research on the burn. Okay.
Well, that feel it. Effort. Let the hate flow through you. It just, well, I don't know. It gets me so much. I just can't stand it.
Yeah, and going back to the Ron Paul thing. A lot of the people who I saw were all in favor of Ron Paul a couple years ago, right? The last election, have moved over to Bernie Sanders. And I think there's an attraction to this idea of we're going to change the system. This is a revolution, which is what Sanders is pushing and is what Ron Paul pushed. And I think there's a lot of people like that.
But you know what? I wouldn't say that Ron Paul pushed that. I don't think Ron Paul was the one that Ron Paul didn't say, this is a revolution. It was the people that formed the Ron Paul revolution, you know, that picked up that, and he was just like, "What? What's going on?"
Maybe you're right there. Yeah, sure.
Ron Paul at least did kind of encourage people to think. You know, I mean, he could look and say, look at my voting record. Look at how I've been consistent. And by pointing out that, he'd be like, check it out.
And he challenged the status quo head on when it came to the debates on foreign policy. You know, he's like, we just marched in, we can just march out. You know, he just like kept dropping that, like, that just was just like always against the militarism, always countering, always challenging the Giulianis and those other warmongering, monsters that he was in those debates with. So it's like,
well, and you know, not only
but what is Bernie doing? What is Bernie offering that's different than Donald Trump? They're all for free stuff.
Or Hillary Clinton, you know?
Yeah. And so like, there's no challenge to the status quo with Bernie.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
So, before we were so rudely interrupted by the market, I was saying...
That wasn't rude.
We didn't even know it. We were just yakking away, not even paying attention.
Yeah, we rudely interrupted the market. That was our mistake.
That pretty much was it. So I was saying that, one of the differences with Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders was when the media basically deemed that Ron Paul wouldn't make it, they asked him, will you support one of your other fellow Republican colleagues, and he said, sure, if they're willing to change their positions to fall in line with my own, which is a pretty ballsy statement.
It's the correct answer. Really, I mean, it's like, because he is a politician. He is there. He's not there to just be like, screw you, but basically what he gave is the correct answer. Like, hey, if you join me on foreign policy and the Fed and all my other issues, then of course, why wouldn't I want to endorse you? And Ron was always about trying to win people over, like trying to bring them in, and he certainly did bring a lot of people in. So Bernie, now on the other hand, he's just pulled out the same tired playbook of like, look, there's rich people with stuff, and do you want that stuff? And people are like, yeah. We're gonna get the stuff.
And when asked if he doesn't make it, if he'll support Hillary Clinton, well, yes, of course he will. Because
why wouldn't he? What principle would he be compromising by doing that? None.
Yeah. you have to support your team members. It's our team versus their team, and it's not
right. Well, this question. I saw this question. People were getting asked a lot about this in New Hampshire because Rand Paul drops out. So people are asking, like, well, gee, Rand Paul supporter, are you going to support Ted Cruz now? Or what are you doing? And this is some kind of a big question. Like, really? Or if you've already compromised enough to support Rand Paul, who cares if it's Hillary or Cruz or whatever at that point? So,
yeah, how different really are they?
Not at all.
There's really got to be some tough like Thanksgivings at the Paul residence, right?
Gosh. Yeah.
Well, hasn't Ron Paul come out and said that he supports Rand?
Probably. I'm sure he has. Why wouldn't he? Of course he supports his son. Mm-hmm. I still love my children even when they're misbehaving.
Yeah. isn't Rand Paul like done now?
Yeah.
Well, he's probably going to go. I guess he's going to go for re-election in the Senate.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I think he should. You know what? His best work is as an eye doctor, like helping people in Haiti and stuff. Have you seen the photo? He like seems to do that, and like that's great stuff. Like, wow! Imagine how much help he's bringing to people. Going to a place like Haiti, with his skills as an eye doctor.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the cult of personality with all these guys. That's all politics ever seems to be. It's
of course
the best actor that can say the right things can get people riled up. It ties into the whole like we care what the entertainers are saying and doing. We talked about the Super Bowl halftime show earlier. It drives me nuts. I've been wanting to do an X-Files critique for a while. There's a revival of the X-Files. And I'd like to say first that it was done perfectly. There's still a couple episodes left, but I know a lot of people were complaining.
It's a six-episode, like, I don't know. Is there any promise, like guarantee of more than six, or is it just the six episodes?
It's six with the hope, and I do stress hope. I mean, I really hope they do it. They renew it. I think they will because it's done very well. But people were complaining, you know, this is tired and washed up because it has the same actors and the same producer. And I'm like, you know what though?
If you're that.
Yeah, I love that too. It worked for up 70 years, you know. It worked
in
really
a lot of ways.
Well.
I felt like it. They didn't even miss a beat going from you know skipping over 20 years, and it was just like right back into it. Like
it really was, and the episodes have the same format, and a lot of them. I mean, yes, there's the conspiracy side to it. Like the first one was really good. They've kind of let go of the aliens thing a little bit, and now they're talking more about current events. Like Chris Carter, the creator, said, "We live in a Citizen Four world now," which he was referencing the documentary featuring Edward Snowden. Citizen Four, really great, documentary. If you haven't seen it, I suggest checking it out. You know, and he was talking about that, and they even made like somebody threatened Mulder in the show, one of his bosses, and he's like, "Yeah, I know who Edward Snowden is." You know, he kind of made that little nod to Ed Snowden, and you know, it just talks about how there are multinational elites that want to control, you know, the market. They basically want to control the whole world, and they do it with, you know. Clever marketing, getting the people all riled up and following this and that, and you know, food and all. It's a really good nod to some of the stuff that I think libertarians are concerned about. And then, you know, it's still got that crazy, far out, you know, conspiracy feel to it. So it's a good balance. And then they have the episodes where they just hunt the monster, you know, that's why they call it the X-Files, because it's these weird cases that can't be solved, you know. And I was talking to a guy on Facebook who, there was an episode last week basically about lizard people, and I won't give away too much of it if you haven't seen it, but he was really, really upset because he felt it made a mockery of the whole lizard people conspiracy theory. And I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, well, here's the thing, guy. Either you're one of those people that believes lizard men control the world or they don't. I said, personally, I don't believe it. But you got to remember, this show is about entertainment. And he's like,
the Freedom Fiends. Yeah, and in fact, a large segment of our audience are maybe lizard people, for all we know.
I've kind of wondered after meeting a few of them at Porkfest. So, you know, just saying. Just saying. Yeah. But, you know, I told
the episode you're talking about is the one that's called Mulder and Scully Meet the Were-Monster. Is that correct?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
This was episode 3 of 6, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I thought the writing was fantastic, and the performances were superb, especially the guest star.
Yeah, he nailed it, you know.
Yeah.
And so the guy was all upset, and he's like, you know, it makes a mockery of that theory, and it'll just drive people away from the truth. And I'm like, okay, all right. Come on, guy. You got to remember.
Listen, we're supposed to be concerned about what the real lizard conspiracy people.
let's just assume for a minute that you're right, and the lizard people control the New World Order and the media and everything. If that were the case, if what you believe was the case, do you actually think that they would let that sort of information out on mainstream TV? Come on. I said, can't you just enjoy the show for what it is? I mean, and like you said, it was written great. It was a clever kind of twist on the whole, like, werewolf thing, you know, or the were-lizard thing. It was just spectacular.
And like, when I first saw the title, and I was like, oh, I was kind of disappointed when I saw the title. Like, oh, that looks like it really is going to be one of the standard X-Files style shows, and then it went in a totally different direction than I expected. And
well, the first,
again, the performance was fantastic. So
the first complaint the guy had was that it was silly, and you know, the X-Files is supposed to be serious, and I'm like, well, you're obviously, I don't want to say,
forgetting about some classic comedic X-Files episodes.
Oh yeah, the X-Files had a habit of at least every season doing one or two spoof episodes where they made fun of themselves.
Yeah.
And it lightened the mood of the show when you had, like, you know, when you've got aliens trying to take over the world and shadowy men, you know, for a whole season. It's nice to have a couple of spoofs to lighten the mood a little bit. And that's, now they've only got six episodes to prove to the world that they deserve to be renewed. So they have to throw that in there. And I'm glad they did. I thought it was great.
Now, Now name the actor, okay? In the I don't know, we should say classic X-Files, but remember the comedic episode where they're in like Area 51 or
Michael McKean,
where they did the switch bodies?
That was Michael McKean, the guy that also played Saul's brother in Better Call Saul. He's
exactly
excellent.
Right. And I was just watching that, now that that's all up on Netflix. I'm like, Just again, marveling at the brilliance of those performances.
Well, and interestingly enough, that character, he's like the disgruntled Area 51 employee. He actually played the villain in the spinoff show, The Lone Gunman, which I thought was a great show, but it didn't last, unfortunately. It lasted one season, and then it was done. But and he was like,
hey, maybe those guys could come back. Do you think they could bring those guys back for the...
Actually, I'm going to tell you, spoiler alert, if you're X-Files fan, you don't want to be spoiled, don't listen. You've been warned. But the comic book that came out before the new show has it that they faked their death in the original series, and they are coming back in this series. So either next week or the week after. So I'm like,
I love those guys.
I do too.
I love them.
They're great. And you know, because my kid's a wicked big X-Files fan too, because she's my kid. And we were talking right before the show started, and we were like, you know, she's like, do you think they'll bring the cancer man back? And I was like, you know, I really hope so, because he's such an iconic character. But I don't see how they could, because, you know, in the last episode, he pretty much got blown up by a missile.
Right, but wasn't he in, like, the first episode of the new season?
He was in the last minute of the first episode. He's like, yes, we have a problem. They've reopened the X-Files. So I'm like, all right, we knocked that one out. He's coming back.
I love it.
And then we were talking the other day, and I started looking, and I actually got the X-Files comics, and I was like, guess who's coming back? And she's like, the Lone Gunman. I was like, yep. So yeah, they'll, and I'm sure they'll provide another kind of comedic element to that. You know, they're so goofy with their conspiracy theories. It's hilarious. So yeah, man, don't get, you know, it's, yeah, as an artist, I think you can put messages into your art, and I think that's important. But geez, don't get all bent out of shape when it doesn't fall in exactly in line with your worldview. You know, it's
right, especially if it's a Super Bowl show and you don't like their choice of costuming, or really, but you're going to get upset because of the melanin content of the dancers. Like, we got to move on. You know, like. That's...
Well, I've said this for years, and I swear to God, there's a great many.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
We were just talking about the X-Files, but I want to change it up a little bit here and bring up this great story from New Hampshire. Supposedly there was a pig wandering around the voting booth today.
The primary
buildings
pig
out there. Yeah, the primary.
None of us like Hillary, but I think it's really unfair to. I mean, let's not go to where we're like calling her names, okay? So
I thought that was Sarah Palin. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
No, we're actually not talking about any politicians.
Okay,
here.
Wait, yeah,
not even cops. Oh, okay, this is a real hog, and it was wandering around there in this New Hampshire place, and it's a big decent sized pig. I like the way it looks, honestly, as a farmer. But
as a farmer, this is a purely professional attraction.
That's right.
Of course.
If any animals are here, it's very interesting to me. So one of the things that I thought was funny is that this pig was around for a little while. They didn't seem to get it out of there. I guess I didn't really see how long it took them, but
well, that's New England for you.
Did I hope the pig is okay. Did it everything work out okay?
It got home. The cops tried to move it and keep it away from the building for a while. I didn't get to see the videos. I didn't have time to watch them before we got on here, but I really want to see what their techniques were. It seemed like the pig was getting a little bit upset with them, so it probably means they weren't doing a fantastic job.
I'm afraid of the other pigs fearing for their lives. You know, well, you know where that could go.
You don't want to see a mad pig. I'll tell you that. Uh-uh. Like, I can remember as a kid going to my aunt's farm, and she had a pig pen, and those things scared the heck out of me. They would grunt and snarl and then run right up and charge right into the wooden fence, and just terrified me.
Well, do you guys remember a couple months ago zebras got loose in Philly, and the cops went like chase these poor zebras around town? That could have ended tragically, but thankfully the zebras survived.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this pig is like, well, you know, they said I'm supposed to go out and vote today. It's New Hampshire primary. Better what's going on in there? And that's where he went. And any word on who he voted for?
I did not
Bernie
hear
Sanders.
Probably.
Interesting.
But yeah, so I thought it was a funny story Michael sent us. I really enjoy seeing when animals get loose and see what people do. I did see one of the videos and people were just kind of standing around looking at a pig. And
when animals get loose.
That's right.
There's your new fox hit right there.
And Chandler's right that pigs can be dangerous. It seemed like this pig had a decent temperament, and a lot of pigs do, but some breeds can be specifically pretty terrible. And it's a good idea to be afraid of any animal that is larger than you. I mean, that's a 600-pound pig.
Don't take your distance, you know?
Don't pigs eat bones, too? Like,
yeah, no, they'll eat just about anything. You know, they are very much omnivores.
I remember watching an episode of Millennium, another show by Chris Carter, and the bad guy like put his victims in a pig pen so there would be no trace of them. That always freaked me out. I was like, "Jeez, man, I'm already freaked out enough by pigs. Now I got to see that."
that's awesome.
Well, yeah, and so
they're cute.
I raise very small, nice pigs. I have probably one of the nicest temperament of a breed of pigs. That's the American Guinea Hogs. The small homestead breeds are pretty much always nice. So I don't have to have that problem. But I have seen and been very close to 4-H pigs, commercial hogs. And if you fell down in a pen with those kind of hogs, they'd probably...
You're a goner.
I think the best line in the story was, it was just a farmer and his pig out taking a stroll. With a two-squad car for an escort.
I've done that a few times out the squad car. Pigs.
I'm glad the pig's okay.
Me too. Well, we shall be back for hour number two of the Freedom.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Fiend phone.
Oh, here it is.
Re-educate Michael me all Fiend's night long, in. Baby.
This is the Fiend phone, unnecessary, random, re-education, interruption, exigency, system, and service, or furries. Hi, guys.
What's up?
Yo. So,
I napped from 7 to 11:30. I'm feeling refreshed.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. I had a bad long day, but because I tried to overdo it the other day, Monday. I did a Fiend show, and then immediately after, from 1 to 2 a.m. my time, I was interviewed. And this interview is not out yet, but it is going to shatter the world we live in. Because
this
was
the
done.
Radical Agenda podcast. Is that the one?
No, better. It's the guy who is also known as Cantwell Goo, and he outs himself in it, and it's coming out in a few days.
Wow.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that guy, man. You know, he posted a meme today that made me go, dude, I think he's gone too far. Do you guys see it?
Even you have thought he's gone too far.
There's this Norwegian black metal band called Mayhem.
Yes, I saw that meme.
Not to be confused with the happy dark punk rock band in the Quincy episode, Murder, Mayhem, and Punk Rock from the 70s. Quincy being the first CSI show. I liked it. I saw it.
I just watched that the other day.
Yeah, the singer, one of the guys in the band Mayhem killed himself at one point, the Norwegian band. And his roommate, before he called... His roommate came home, and before he called the authorities, the, you know, Libertarian Corpse Disposal Service in Norway, he trudged a couple miles in the snow to an all-night drugstore and bought a disposable camera and came back and took a really gruesome picture of this guy with his brains on the floor next to a gun and a knife. And it's on a bootleg record of the band Mayhem. Now, this Cantwell Goo guy made a variation of that where he put Cantwell's face on the guy and said, this is what's going to happen after Trump loses.
Ugh. Oh, God.
He went too far.
It's a little too far.
I hit share you anyway. Know. And then I tried to outdo
him.
I was going to say,
I thought, like, you're saying he went too far, but I recall seeing you share that. So
yeah, but I didn't make it. But I tried to outdo him, and I was trying to think how to do it. So I just shared it again and said, I'd hit it. So wow. let's move on to happy thoughts. I want to talk about
let's take it up to at least your colon level, you know, like
okay. Bernie Sanders colon. Yeah, well, I think that different candidates are fighting over who gets to do my next colonoscopy. Rand Paul's gonna have his he's a doctor of some kind. He's an eye doctor, but you know, he's probably cut up a cadaver at some point. They all do. And Ben Carson. And, you know, colonoscopies are not brain science. So either of these guys, I think instead of a debate, Rand and the token Republican black guy they always have should flip a coin, should debate my colon. How's that?
On pay-per-view. Yeah.
Pay-per-view. No. So let's talk about Fiend the Homeless and the connections between X-Files and Breaking Bad. What do you guys think?
That is awesome. I'm reading that right now.
Do you guys know about this?
I knew Bryan Cranston played in an episode of the X-Files, one of the ones I really like, Drive, but a lot of this stuff I did not know.
Yeah. Yep. And I do want to read. I got an email from. So last night, I was trying to raise money for Feeding the Homeless because I've put in like, I don't know, I think I've put in like $200 out of pocket and got about 100 in donations. And I said, I'm just going to read my Twitter feed until we get a $50 donation.
So you resorted to terrorism.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So okay. I get this donation right after the show for $49.99 for Feeding the Homeless. So,
perfect. So you're still reading your Twitter feed as I'm we speak.
Still reading, yeah. Right? Cantwell, yeah. Goo, suicide, yeah. Cantwell. So,
till we get that penny in.
The universe owes me a penny. Where do I send the invoice?
No. You owe the universe more of your Twitter feed until that penny comes okay. in. You made a promise, right?
Well, let's talk about. Let's talk about it, man. Yeah. So I got an email.
Quick, somebody contribute at least a Satoshi.
I spent the penny. Yeah, a bit penny. So I spent the $49.99 on buying several hundred batteries, and they are on their way to you, James.
I'm sure once that clears Homeland Security, that'll be promptly delivered.
I know. I think you're not supposed to mail batteries. They must come to you yesterday, but... So there's a guy who's been a Fiend supporter since day one, who's been sending me $20 a month. He's the reason, you know, there's still a show because that still like covers, I don't know, some of the expenses. So I wrote this guy and said, yeah, I'm not going to say who it is. He's a good friend. So I wrote him and asked him if he wanted to contribute to Feeding the Homeless. And he said, seems a bit outlandish. You're basically out Steve Jobsing Steve Jobs with device control. For those who don't know, Feeding the Homeless is... Yeah. Our plan to give away MP3 players and radios to homeless people in Philly. The devices are going to be epoxied on channel, and you know, so you can't remove the cards. So they only play Fiends. So I don't know.
There you go.
And it, you know, it's kind of apt because the MP3 players we're handing out look like iPod Nanos and are probably a trademark or design patent violation of Steve Jobs.
That's great. I can't wait to do this project. We're going to get Steve Miller, and we'll, you know, probably get some local folks to join in. We're gonna have a fun time with it. You know, I have another project I'm trying to get Steve Miller to do. I'm gonna try to get him to get on the ballot for Attorney General across Pennsylvania. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it.
And I could be his running mate as state treasurer candidate. Okay.
I have a suggestion. Like his last thing, he ran for judge, and his motto was not guilty. Right.
Right.
It's kind of a joke. I think he should take it a little more seriously, and his motto should be no victim, no crime. If nothing else, he could probably get in some debates and make a point. Or maybe he could say, like, what he does is too secret, and he could just stand there with sunglasses and his eyes closed, and you could speak for him for his office. Because I think you wouldn't joke as much.
Well, I mean, what kind of monkey wrenching could a treasurer candidate propose? You know, just closing the bank accounts.
Everything.
Yeah, returning all the checks accidentally. What? I don't know. Yeah, we had all those records of people's tax debts, but I don't know where it went. You know, we lost the password. Sorry. All taxes are canceled.
yeah.
Well, I like it. Now, well, you know, but it's in a way, though, it's. I mean, I think it's pure trolling, but some people would say, oh, you're an anarchist. You can't run for office. I think when you're in it, like, to really just destroy the whole concept from the inside, I think it's fine.
Vermin Supreme.
Look at that. Now, he is actually, he's probably the most realistic of all the candidates we've seen in New Hampshire recently.
I will double the free stuff I give you. Oh, wait, that's Daryl Perry, isn't it? No, somebody's saying that. Who was it?
It's not Daryl. I think
he's here. He started as a joke, I think, and he's taking it very seriously now.
Daryl Perry? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I love Free Talk Live, but everyone on that show is a statist. And here's why I say that. Statism, somebody's headphones are echoing. Statism has a dirty connotation to it because anarchists, and even like, I mean, even Rush Limbaugh co-opted that word. He's called Hillary a statist, and he's a huge statist, but it's not a word made up by anarchists. It's a word made up by, it's a socio-political science word that means anyone but an anarchist. If you have the most minarchist, you know, night watchman state idea in your head, you are a statist. And everyone in Free Talk Live either participates in politics or, you know, wants some kind of tiny government. So I think they've all run for office at some point, too.
Well, but you know, there may be, there's probably a position in the middle where you say, like, yeah, we don't want to have a government, but hey, you know what? Maybe we can just go in there and try to dismantle it from the inside. I'm not saying I agree with the strategy, but it is, you know, at least I think that's kind of what they're, and they've even done a little bit of damage from the inside in New Hampshire. So, you know, in the end, I don't really see it as a winning strategy to legislate your way into freedom, but...
Isn't Adam Kokesh running for anarchy president next time?
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, there's people that run for office. They're like, yeah, we're going to win this. We're going to get in there. We're going to get the ring of power. We're going to start working the levers ourselves of government, and everything's going to be cool. I'm not into that. But then there's people that are like, yeah, vermin supreme. That are like, we're going to get on the ballot and we're going to use this whole system to as a platform to really show, you know, or just to kind of expose how ridiculous it is. So, you know, if I ran for treasurer, I could probably get in a debate with actual serious treasurer candidates, and I could do live trolling, like it would be televised, possibly on like some stupid like Pennsylvania cable channel, but still. I could have a lot of fun with them right in their faces.
Yeah. I think Ron Paul kind of did it right in a way. I mean, he actually was a sitting U.S. senator on and off for like 20 years. And
congressman.
I mean, I think that congressman. Yeah, I think the value of him was that, well, first of all, we know that he got elected because he did all the baby catching of everyone that grew up and vote for him. That's how he got elected. You know, he was a doula, an obstetrician. What is it? What do you call a baby doctor? Baby catcher? He's one of them. But basically, like, I think the valuable thing he did was got on mainstream media debates with normal politicians and talked about Austrian economics. Right.
And destroyed them and foreign policy.
Yeah, you know, we were a just bunch of anarchists.
Mentioned that earlier. Well, you know, but he also gave people a lot of faith in the system that had said, oh, the hell with that.
That's
he
true.
Brought a lot of people in, and they're like, well, see, Ron did it. We can work within the system,
They're still working for Ron and their band.
He brought a lot of people in, and then they realized after the primaries that the system is totally corrupt, and they have no chance of operating in that system.
Well, but, you know, it's a good opportunity for a lot of libertarians to just really see how the process works, you know, like to see, like, even when you have the numbers and the support, that's not what was holding you back. You know, it was.
Well, the GOP changed the rules midstream to make sure no Ron Paul could ever get in the running again.
It is the opinion of the chair that the ayes have it, as it came up on the teleprompter.
And everyone's like, that's not what it says. No,
it's the opinion of the teleprompter that the ayes have it.
Yes, yes. There you go. Works for Obama. That's why Republicans love it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Department of Agriculture and the Department of Fish and Hogs on the Green Teams. Fish Nick. Fish Nick. That should be a term for people who don't like fish Nick.
Nick, do you go to those wildlife preserves in Oregon? I've heard there's one that's been in the news.
He is a wildlife preserve in Oregon.
That's right. Okay. I don't like preserving many birds here. We have a lot of starlings.
But I was trying to get you to visit that Malheur sanctuary and like bring a case of Lysander Spooner books and like just drop them off. Like would that be aiding
and abetting the terrorists? Yeah, it'd be treason, man. They'd hang young Nick.
I don't know. Wouldn't that be like what would they say? Like
conjugal visit would be with a man in Gitmo before he's even turned 18. So we're going to talk about death. Nick, are you in Future Farmers of America or something like that still?
No, I used to
he's
be
now
in
4-H. He's now in Current Farmers anymore. Of America.
There you go. I love that. What were you in, Nick? That's funny.
I was in 4-H, but I'm not in anymore.
My dad was in 4-H, but he also believes dowsing works and tried to show me that one time. So let's talk about the death panel computers. James, you want to lead on this?
Well, you were just telling me about it, and I didn't really realize it, but Watson, if you remember the famous computer that I understand, I think it won on Jeopardy. Somebody made a computer.
You got to take it back to the chess playing computers of the 70s. Do you remember them, James? Or are you too long? Too young?
Well, right. I guess when was the first time a computer beat the human grandmaster? Like, I don't know.
Grandmaster Melly Mello and the Furious Five?
Can humans still win?
Computers have already beat all the grandmasters without talking to them. I think now. Okay.
So
but it was
an IBM
project to show how smart computers were. IBM made a chess playing computer. They tried it in the 70s, but the grandmasters were beating them in the 70s. But in 95, they got to the point where they could 96, they could beat all the grandmasters. So where do you go from there? You go on Jeopardy, and where do you go from there? You have a computer for president.
Yeah, but think about how complicated that is, though. Just get to Jeopardy. Like, first of all, imagine the programming complexity of a chess program.
Jeopardy's easier than chess.
Jeopardy is human language and culture and weird things that aren't necessarily intuitive.
James works at home. He has a working knowledge of Jeopardy every afternoon.
Is it still on the air? No, I'm a Price is Right guy, you know. Oh my God.
If you have a Lysander Spooner book in your purse. Yeah.
Anyway, so Watson went from playing chess to winning at Jeopardy, and now do I understand this correctly that they're saying, hey, you know, yeah, Watson could run for office?
But there's an intermediary step. Watson is on the death panels. He is, I'm not kidding about this, Watson is making 90% of, has input on 90% of the decisions on cancer treatment at Sloan Kettering Institute. That's like a world-renowned cancer hospital. That's where, like, if you live in, if you live in the Middle East and you are, you know, a sultan and your kid gets cancer, you take him to the Sloan Kettering or the Mayo Clinic or Cleveland Clinic, you know?
So now when they say, like, I'm sorry, we just can't give you the transplant. Why not? Well, Watson said so. it's not me. If it was up to me, I'd certainly want to save your life. But it's a computer-generated death panel. Sorry. But, you know, it makes sense that this would be an intermediate step on the way to having a computer-generated political candidate, right?
Death panel.
Because as you're working your way up to, because this tells me that Watson could be in for, like national politics. Because what you have to prove early on is that you're willing to be merciless and kill people, right? Yeah. So once it's proven itself by...
James, you there? Is Nick there?
I'm here.
We lost James. So I'll pick up mid-sentence. So once you can prove...
Why not? Will you welcome our robot overlords?
Yeah, yeah. That was weird. You got censored there, James. You got censored for about 20 seconds. You were gone.
Wow.
It's Watson. Watson is working at GCN. So think about the evolution of this. Okay, first they had computers playing games and losing, then winning, then playing like human language strategy games, and then making life or death decisions on individuals. And now they're going to make life or death decisions on like nations.
The only way to win is not to play.
To play. I love that movie.
Yeah, me too. War
Games. Still. War Games. Yep. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
And we're back. And I wanted to talk about the trivia method of critical thinking with you guys. This is something that has been passed around.
I don't like that method, and you're wrong.
He doesn't like it.
You're just wrong.
So, what I'm curious is,
it's the great trivium war.
So let me explain what this is real quick. It's a three-step critical thinking method. The first step is good. We're going to gather information. We're going to gather as much information as we can, gather all the data that
you're wrong.
No, this is totally right. And so,
keep going, Nick.
And then the second step is we're going to take all that information, and then we're going to look through, define inconsistencies and patterns in it, and make it make sense. And then the third step is we're going to take the information we've gathered and the patterns we've found, and apply it to our life. That's what it is. And I don't see how you can really argue with that. I think that it makes sense to me, right? Let's gather information. Let's make sure it makes sense, and let's apply it to our life. So, what's your issue with it, Michael?
I don't really have an issue with it. Just the people who try to explain it to me sound really culty about it, and like like they're selling religion.
Right. So it's not actually about the thing. It's just the people that what is
I
that?
Mean, when I was 18,
that's a fallacy, right? Where you're like, where you dismiss an idea because of the people that are explaining it to you.
Yeah, but it's hard not to, man. When I was 18, like. Some people in my college tried to turn me on libertarianism, and it was Libertarian Party, but in the 80s that was it. But I thought they sounded like religious nuts handing me pamphlets, and I ran away, and I was like really high. They were like, "Hey, you want to legalize marijuana?" I mean, they could look at me and tell. So I ran away. Yep.
Good. Well, no, I can totally understand that with the trivium. I do think that some people can get pretty caught up into it. And I think I have to an extent. And so,
well, how do you get caught up in it? I mean, is there a structure that you somehow use day to day to explain
well, yeah,
it to
that's
me?
That's what the structure is. So it's called. I didn't explain it in depth very much, but you can find a good series on it on the School Sucks podcast. It's way back down in the archives, and I think
I have an announcement about School Sucks. Brett Vinat is a Freedom Fiend co-host, or he has been in the past, but he hasn't replied to the last 20 group emails I've sent. But he also hasn't replied to like 5 individual emails I've sent him in the last. If you're listening, contact us. And
have you tried tagging him 30 to 50 times a day?
Well, no. I only do that with you and Steve Miller. Okay. And I did do it with MK Lawrence, but she got mad, so I stopped.
Okay.
Well, it's all good.
That may explain why, anyway, it's just, our world is full of background noise, Sometimes it's
like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's very hard to get in contact with Brett Vinat.
I think he's turned. I think he went on Chris Cantwell's podcast, and now he's not allowed to talk to me.
I think he's insanely talented. I think he really is. I think he could some kind of like massive NPR show or on one of the major networks.
Not NPR. They love school. They love it. They love public school.
Right. He'd have to sort of trick them into, you know, like for the children. He could call it for the children.
Antiwar.com is on one station. What's his name's show? What's the guy's name? The really smart guy from Texas.
Scott Horton.
Yeah, his show is on one station.
Yeah.
That has like way more listeners than all of our stations combined. It's one of the Pacifica Network ones in LA. It covers all of LA. And it's a totally lefty station. He's the only non-lefty on there. But lefties like to say they're anti-war, so they put Scott Horton on like 15 minutes a week or 30 minutes a week or something.
He's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah. He is, I think of him as like sort of like this Van Gogh character for us, you know, where he's like tormented, but he like takes his torment and, you know, like just gobs it onto the canvas and... you know, and actually paints pictures out of it for us. I mean, but yeah, tough material to have you always be immersed in. Like I couldn't do it. I don't know how he does it. Sorting
trivium,
the foreign
Nick.
Policy.
Trivium.
All right, what is trivium? Come on, Nick. Sell it. How do you use it? How do you go about your day? You're like, oh, the yaks escaped. I better use the trivium method. How would that work?
Can I purchase it for $19.95?
$49.99.
I think if you're going to use the trivia method, you should only really use it when you're using critical thinking. Most people, if you ask, are going to say, "Yeah, I think critically," and especially people who are into politics, they're going to call themselves
like Bernie
thinkers.
Supporters think they're
That's right. But if you ask thinkers. These critical thinkers, do you have a method of critical thinking? Most people are going to say no. I mean, when I was asked that question, when somebody brought it up to me, it's like the only thing I could think of was the Socratic method, where we just ask questions, right? And that works. I think that's been fine, right? But if you don't have a critical thinking method, it's nice to be able to organize your thoughts. It's nice to be able to have a structure to that, especially if you're doing research. So, I don't remember where all this stuff came from, the trivium, but I know the Catholics pushed it. I know it was an ancient Greek thing. And I know there are some issues with the classic trivium, which is not really the trivium. But for the most part, the people who are pushing it now are like Michael said, some of them can be pretty, I guess, cultish. I don't want to name any names of people who I think take a little too far. But I totally lost my train of thought there for a second.
I thought, didn't Steve Jobs like promote that sort of thing?
Maybe.
The whole train of thought. Where's your trivium god now, Nick?
That's right. <Yeah. laughs>
You didn't create your mind map.
It's a nice structure to have. I don't know anything about Steve Jobs promoting it, but it's a nice structure to have to be able to say, I've done my what's called grammar work, where we collect data and information to then move on to look at it consistently, look for everything that's going on with the information we had, and then to make the next step to be able to at least maybe speak about it or apply it to our own life.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I think any method that encourages you to think independently and think critically is a good thing. I'm sure it's probably adapted to, I would think you would adapt it to suit the individual. And the hardest thing is fighting your bias, right? And I think that's what this sort of system encourages, is that you kind of let go of all your preconceived notions and your biases and look at a
topic.
Try
to keep you from fooling yourself, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I see, and I'm guilty of it, I'll be the first to admit, but I see even libertarians do that. You know, they claim to be...
Confirmation bias.
Yeah.
Well, I see a lot of confirmation bias in other people, but I don't have any myself.
No, of course
not. So it's really easy to recognize it in others, but...
Isn't that what we call cognitive dissonance? Dissonance?
I don't know. Yeah, a lot of other people have that, I hear. So,
yeah, and to a degree, everybody does use this sort of method. I think it's pretty natural. We gather information, we look for patterns, and then we apply it to our life. Right?
Where but can I get me some Trivium?
School sucks. SchoolSucksPodcast.com.
That's not the place to get it. That's a place to hear about why it's great. I mean, that's a place
I Googled it, and I came up with TriviumEducation.com. What is that?
Okay.
Is that
I want to go to the well.
That is reputable?
On the source.
I don't know what the source is. It's ancient. This is a method that's been around for thousands of years. This is like
so. There's some Greek Aristotle, scrolls or something,
Plato
or...
and whatnot.
I'm not going to recommend Brett until he returns my emails.
I will.
So that's fine. I have done work on the Trivium.
I'm trying to get him a free ticket to Pork Fest, and he's not answering my emails. But I don't want to say that because then he might contact me like, oh, free ticket to Pork Fest. I don't know. So
I'm sure he can get a free ticket to Pork Fest without anyone's help.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably, on the board.
I think we're going to have all the fiends at Pork Fest this year, right?
Except me.
Oh, come on.
You guys can vote me out. You can have a coup.
James Derek is like, Slopey does the web stuff, right? So we can do that.
Yeah, you can lock me out. You have to convince him, though.
Nah, you do too much work.
I know. I'm a useful idiot.
We just log into Fiend Phone and get to yak it up with cool fiends.
You want to keep me honest? I think I'm the cult leader, but I'm really just a useful idiot who does all the editing and the back end stuff.
I'm not going to do it. That's for sure. So
I know.
Well,
there's two guys that can do it. If anything ever happens to me, and you need to know. We need to train someone to do more editing because there's two guys that help once a week each. Scott Sanders and Nathan the Ninja Squirrel. They know how to do it. They also have accounts where you can log in and do it. Yeah. So, Nick, where's your Trivium God now?
Can you use Trivium to edit the episodes?
To have them edit themselves or to get people to edit the episodes.
Maybe we could use Trivium to create a supercomputer that could edit the episodes itself.
It wouldn't be that hard. Yeah. It'd be easier than cancer diagnosis.
Right. And
I was wondering if we could make... Okay, so we have this Android app coming out for the Fiends. It's in beta. Only I have a copy of it. There's going to be another beta version soon, which is going to be open for beta testing. Nick and Chandler, do you have Android devices, Chrome Robot books?
Sure do.
Not Android.
Okay. Yep. So you're on the list.
So he's going to give you a version for you betas, but I'm holding out for an alpha version.
For an alpha.
You want the alpha version.
You don't want the cuck version. So here's what I'm thinking. Like, could this be, along with like mining Bitcoin for us and things like that and all the secrets? No, we're not putting that in. But what I'm wondering is.
Well, that's up to the poll. We're putting a poll on Facebook once somebody figures that out.
Yeah, you're talking about putting a poll on. I haven't seen the poll. Where's the poll?
I don't know. I haven't been able to figure it out. I don't even know how to make a poll on Facebook. I tried. Maybe somebody can help us out.
Well, here's what I'm wondering. So one of the options on it is play live, which, you click on that. It basically plays LRN, and it says when we're on live, and it says LRN's the rest of the time. There's a show on LRN. I love all the shows except one show on Sunday I really hate. Is there a way to, during that time slot, like know when that time slot is, know what your local time is on your Android device, to just have it play a Freedom Fiends episode instead of that guy's show?
Ooh, shots fired.
Well, that would be very Steve Jobs-ish.
That sure would. Yes. Yes. All right. So you guys want to talk about trivia more, or can we just link it and
let's move on.
Yeah.
Nah, I got everything I want to say.
We're coming back for the final segment after this, right? So
X-Files?
It's good news.
Breaking Bad?
For Redemption.
It's good news for
Redemption. Yeah, if we're doing Redemption, we definitely don't want to talk about my casino experience.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. RATS is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. RATS was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. RATS is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download RATS free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
We're opening ourselves up to accusations again.
The phone lines are open to accusations. Call 800-666-FIEN.
So, Chandler,
we
love the X-Files. Do you have a problem loving a show where the heroes are FBI agents?
Man, it's getting tougher, but you know what? It's the X-Files. And Mulder is kind of like against the establishment, and Scully's a scientist, you know? So they're those first before they're FBI agents. So FBI, I guess I can love it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fantasy. Like, I like Star Trek, and like all the characters are cops, basically, like patrolling the galaxy, like
global UN. It's the global UN. Somebody actually wrote me, like, I quoted your thing about James about like not violating the Prime Directive with contacting uncontacted tribes with our podcast players, and instead going with the semi-uncontacted tribes of Kensington, Philadelphia, with Feeding the Homeless. But somebody was like, man, that's square. You're a cop. Stop licking the boots of the globalist empire. I'm like, come on, man. I create more unpaid jobs than Bernie Sanders.
Wait, how does that work? Wait, say that again? I don't understand the connection.
I said I didn't want to violate the Prime Directive. And somebody was like, "You're an intergalactic statist, basically."
people take this stuff way over.
It's do no harm. That's all it is, right, James?
Pretty much.
And they violate it all the time, depending on like which space chicks he wants to do.
Well, think about it. Like the you know, we've seen the havoc that just like a United States government can bring upon the world, right? Imagine a Federation-style galactic government and all the death and misery and mayhem and plague and plunder and exploding suns and like all the things they would be doing. They'd have to be like, hey, maybe we should we put any limits on this? Nah.
Well, you know, it is interesting for my super nerdy friends out there. If you want to read about issues like this that come up, there's a book series that takes place in the Enterprise timeline, the one that Scott Bakula played in, and it's called Birth of the Federation. And these are some of the questions that they were asking as the Federation was created, and they created the Prime Directive.
So. Right. Should we drone bomb wedding parties?
Have you guys seen that meme that's going around? I was going to use it for an image, but it's too dire for the, you know, I'll use Cantwell with his brains blown out, but I'm not going to use this image. It's not fiends. But there's an image going around. It's like heroin before and after, and it shows a guy who's healthy and then a guy who looks really bad or pretty bad. And then it says speed before and after, and it's got the same thing.
Yeah.
And then it says government, and it's got a guy who looks good and then has like been beaten almost to death in a hospital bed who looks way worse than the heroin or coke or crack guy.
Yep.
It's true. It's true, people. All right, 2 minutes.
So, you know, one of the interesting crossovers between Breaking Bad and the X-Files is the 1013 reference, which is Chris Carter's production company. And you see it on Gail's apartment is 1013. And in a montage of his apartment, there's a like a potato bomb clock that says 1013. But what I find interesting is if you look on the bookshelf of the books in Gail's apartment, three of them are Marxist-Leninism books. And Gail is supposed to be this big libertarian. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, but he's a Ron Paul supporter. He's got a Ron Paul sticker in his drug lab book. It's really brief. But a bigger connection, too, is the writers and actors. I mean, Vince Gillian, creator of Breaking Bad, was a writer on The X-Files. And Bryan Cranston was in an episode. You know, he used the name Airman Trout for a minor character.
Craddock Marine. The Craddock Marine Bank is featured in both shows.
Cancer Man. Cancer Man is the name of an episode.
It's the first episode.
And it's a guy in X-Files.
Yeah, the main villain. There's a lot of interesting connections. And I think shows do that a lot. Like, the X-Files used to recast actors as different characters. Like, you can see there's a couple of episodes. There's a guy that was in a few of them in season two. And then he plays a completely different character in season six. And he was also in...
Sure. That's weird. Law and Order does that. I see Cantwell Goo right now. I see him on the Fiend site, on the big board map I have up on the wall all the time. I want to say, I'm the Libertarian NSA, and I see you, Cantwell Goo.
Every time there's a listener, a light goes on in your control room.
It does.
Is it exciting?
It is.
And when people have the new Freedom Fiends app, their camera and microphone will come on automatically.
Oh, don't say that.
Did you see the meme I made?
Which one?
Which one? Lisa and Lou discussing if that was really true, and Lou saying, I don't think so, but I shot that computer and threw it into the lake just to make sure, and Lisa says, good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
So there.
Great show, guys. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Chandler. Thanks, James.
Take care, everyone.
Worms.